Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Gen Z Hoops. Today, I'm joined with head of scripts at Clutch Points, Mr. Calvin Fong. Calvin, how are you doing today?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, Ashton. I'm privileged, honored to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. Like, the pleasure is all mine to have you. So to get into our conversation here, I really like you to talk about your upbringing and your connection to sports, like growing up, and most importantly, the game of basketball, because, you know, I'm a basketball player. So I just go with that.
Yeah. So growing up, I'm a Warriors fan. I'm out here in the Bay Area in California. And so the Warriors are everything out here. So growing up, I was a big Warriors fan, although they were terrible when I was growing up. And so the extent of my fandom was like finishing my homework and thinking I should turn on the Warriors game, but they're probably going to be down 20 when I turn it on. And then I turn it on and yeah, every time, did not disappoint. They were down 20. And so I was still a fan, but just kind of, you know, on the side thing, and like, you know, Jay Rich winning the slam dunk contest in like 2002. And those were like our NBA finals for us. But then the We Believe season in 2007, that's what I think really elevated my fandom, and seeing that, oh, like basketball can actually be fun. You can actually win. And then seeing the whole like Bay Area unite for the We Believe season and that Mavs series. And I had the privilege of going to one of those We Believe games in person. And yeah, it was the second round game. We were playing the Jazz, and it was the only game we won that series. But still, that was probably one of the loudest, if not the loudest, I've heard in NBA arena, just because those fans have been starved for the playoffs long. And so that kind of got me going into basketball. And yeah, I never really thought about a career in sports. My mom's a teacher, and so I became a teacher after college, but here we are.
Yeah, most definitely. Those teams were really fun to watch. I agree. Like, I go on YouTube all the time. Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes also talk about it on their podcast all the time.
Yeah.
I believe they had Dirk Nowitzki on recently, and Dirk was kind of like trash talking them, saying like, man, I just didn't want to play you guys in that series because, like, you know, there's always that one team in sports that like that a one seed would get like challenged by. We saw it last year with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat.
Right.
That was great for me to watch. Big Heat fan here.
Yes.
But did you ever play basketball competitively at all? Like, did watching those games as a kid ever make you want to go out there, like lace them up, get out there on the court and compete?
It made me want to, yeah. But whether I was actually able to, I was I'm not very tall and I wasn't very good. So playing intramurals in college is the extent of my competitive basketball experience. So if you count intramurals as playing competitively, then
I did.
Okay.
I count it. I go to some of those runs sometimes down at our field house, Bristol Field House. The football guys, we even have like, there's just athletes all around this place that really competitive.
Yeah. It
you know
can
like
be,
the
yeah.
trash talk, the physicality of the game. I mean, I love it. I love playing with those guys down there. I get to work on my game all the time down there. So, of course, I'm going to count intramurals, of course.
Yeah, one time I was playing a guy, and there were rumors around the gym, like, this guy had played for an international team before, like, one of the smaller countries in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I asked him, like, on the call, like, you actually played for them? He said, yeah, I did. And he told me a little bit of his story. And then the game, like, I knew he kind of wanted to, like, show off. And, like, he's heads and shoulders above the rest of us, right? And so I think I knew that he would, like, go for that behind the back pass for someone on a fast break. And I was ready to jump on it. And I was sitting on it. And then he made the move. And he was going behind the back. And I jumped it. And I don't know, like, around the world, like, he brought the ball all the way around, and like, just completely broke my ankles. And so that's my claim to fame, is getting my ankles broken by an international team player. That's the extent of my basketball career.
That was your welcome to the league moment right there. Right?
yes, for sure.
So going back to like the topic of you being a sports writer, I've, as we just previously talked about, before, like when you joined the meeting, I told you about how I always like admire journalism, like Ernie Johnson, Kevin Harlan, Mike Breen, guys like that. And I've always just really interested in it. Like I know you told me previously that you worked on the YouTube channel NBA Insider as a documentary scriptwriter. Can you like talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think I'd have to go back to how I got into sports writing in the first place, because I
Oh
was a
yeah,
teacher
sorry.
for I was a teacher for 6 years, and I never once considered working in sports. And it wasn't until my wife got pregnant with our first child, and I'm a night owl kind of person, and so when she's pregnant, like, she's tired more often and she would sleep really early. And I'm just looking for something to do at night other than like pop in a movie or a TV show or something. And so I thought, what if I like write about the Warriors? Like, can is that possible? And so I started looking into like Warriors blogs, and I applied to a couple of them. And FanSided's Warriors blog said, yes, like, sure, come on in. Like, here, I gave them a sample and they said, sure, come on. And so I would teach during the day, and then I would do some sports writing about the Warriors at night. And I had no experience with any kind of sports writing or anything like that before. So it was just a learning experience. And so from there, I would like hop to a different blog and hop to a different blog, and I would be looking on like Indeed or Upwork or these job sites of anyone needing like a freelance sports writer. And one of them that I came across was what you mentioned, this YouTube channel called NBA Insider. And so I reached out to the head of the channel, and we got to talking, and he explained everything that he's trying to do with his sports documentaries. And he publishes like 20-minute YouTube videos on like a deep dive into a player story. And so I came on as a scriptwriter for him, just as like a freelance thing. And yeah, I got to tell stories and write these like 20-page scripts for, I think I did Yao Ming, Allen Iverson, Muggsy Bogues. And I had a lot of fun because it was doing like super deep dives. I think I read a book just to have enough info on Yao Ming's upbringing to be able to tell that story. And just for this one script. And so that kind of got me into that storytelling mode. And I really enjoyed telling those stories about those athletes, which kind of translates into what I'm doing now at Clutch Points.
Definitely. Definitely. That sounds like an amazing opportunity, especially to get you started on your career path. Can you talk a little bit about how the job opportunity from Clutch Points like presented itself? Because like I follow that account on Instagram. It's always popping up in my feed whenever I need to like find some news about a player or a team that I'm really intrigued in. I always look at Clutch Points. So can you explain?
So when I was looking for different blogs to write for, and I started out at FanSided, and then from there I went to another blog. FanSided, I was just writing for free because I was just super happy to be able to be a sports writer and have my stuff published. And then another blog approached me and like, hey, we'll pay you like a couple pennies to write this. And so I worked at another blog for freelance. And then Clutch Points approached me and said, like, we've seen some of your work. Would you be interested in coming on as a freelance editorial writer?
That's
And
amazing.
I said, sure. So I started working, same thing. I'm still teaching during the day, and then during the nighttime, I'd be writing for Clutch Points. And that was it for a little while. And then they approached me and said, hey, would you want to come on to our video side? Because we're kind of building out our video team. And like, you can keep your job as a teacher for now, but like, we have this video team. Would you want to come on as a video script writer instead of being an editorial writer? Because we're looking for video script writers. So I came onto the video side, and then that turned into like a part-time kind of job on the side. And then when they had the a full-time position open up, then the opportunity arose, and I decided to leave teaching and work full time on the video side.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Which side would you say you like more? The job as a video script writer or the editorial writer?
I think now I like the video side more. I definitely still like writing. and I liked writing articles, editorials, and I still love that. But the video side has a unique aspect in that you can be a little more creative with it because it's both what you're saying in the video and what's on screen. So you can be a little bit more creative with what you can do. And so I enjoy the storytelling on the video side. It also has to be more like faster paced than an editorial and an article. And it's got to be like more punchy, more engaging. And so I like that aspect of it.
Is the process like the same as it was when you were when you were doing the work with NBA Insider, or is it like totally different?
A little bit different now because with NBA Insider, I was writing these like 20-page video scripts and
Right.
I could go deep into someone's story. Whereas now I'm working for, I publish videos for like Clutch Point's social channels. So the videos go on like TikTok, YouTube,
Yeah,
Snapchat.
all
And
over.
so these, So these are like fast-paced, like 1 minute to 1 minute 30 videos that tell stories. So no longer the 20-page scripts that I used to do. But now it's got to be really, like I mentioned, punchy, engaging. You've got to hook the viewer in those first like 5 seconds. But it has to be a promise that you're going to come through on, or else it's clickbait and they're going to scroll away, right? And so if you're going to make a promise in those first 5 seconds to hook the viewer, you have to follow through on that promise in the rest of the video. And so, yeah, it's one of the things I love about videos is the challenge of those first 5 seconds. Like, how do you write a script where it really engages the viewer in those first 5 seconds, not only to stay and watch, but to keep watching, like audience retention, right? And to keep watching for the rest of the video. And how do
Right.
you keep the story that interesting for a full like minute 30? And so, yeah.
Yeah, I hear that every day in my English classes, if I'm being honest with you. Like my professors, they always come up to me saying, "Ashton, you gotta hook me better." 'Cause I just wrote a paper about I don't know if you've seen the movie Saturday Night Fever with John Travolta from like the 1970s. I like did like a deep dive into disco culture about that, and I was just having a hard time trying to find a hook. So, man, I wish I'd talked to you before that, you know what I mean? And then you could have helped me out a little. But I know I heard that you've been like the head of scripts now at Clutch Points for about 2 years now. Like, what are the biggest challenges with that position?
Yeah, I guess head of scripts is the title technically. My role has kind of been all over the place. So I guess biggest challenge, I don't know if it's a challenge, but being adaptable and wherever they need me. And so my role has changed from being just a script writer to then being an editor of scripts to then being like a producer to then being like a head of specifically Snapchat and our like 7 or 8 shows on Snapchat. And now I help produce videos on like TikTok, YouTube, and continuing to head the Snapchat stuff. So it's kind of been all over the place, just really wherever they need me to be. At one point I was helping write their animated web series. We did like an
Wow.
NBA web series called The Association, and I'm just helping write for that. So doing whatever, I guess being adaptable, being ready. Sports media is constantly changing, and so wherever we need to put more resources and things like that, I got to be ready for. We kind of changed our, one of the things we do on Instagram is now we have these longer captions. We call them epic captions, where we like tell a story
Right.
in an Instagram caption, which usually IG captions are like pretty short and like you focus on the graphic, but we
Right.
kind of switched over to having that storytelling identity and brand. And so I would help out with that a little bit. Helping tell those stories there. And so, like I said, just wherever they need me, I guess being adaptable is the main thing.
I've actually seen that those long captions. I think I saw a post that you guys put out about Duncan Robinson, like how he's having like a not like really a breakout season, but like a bounce back season in a way. And you guys put in the stats about like his shooting lows, his percentages, how they were dropped like those last 2 years prior. But this year, his percent, I think he's shooting like close to 40 something percent from three now. And then you guys put out like the whole story behind it, like saying like why he was out of the rotation, I think, and how he got back into the rotation. How long does that usually take to write though?
Some research definitely needed and telling that bigger story. I think that's something that we kind of wanted to focus on and shift to is that storytelling. And So it does take a little bit to write, because we're not like just reacting to like one game or one play that happened, but we kind of want to tell the bigger story. Like you mentioned with Duncan Robinson, right? Like telling the bigger story of what's happening there. And so seeing that bigger picture, doing some research and like things that have happened like in the past, the season before that. So it takes a little bit to write, but then and we have some good social editors that write those now. And but even though it takes a little bit longer to write than like typical IG captions, I think the payoff is worth it, and we're able to tell some good stories.
Yeah, totally agree. Aside from the challenges, however, what would you say are your favorite aspects of this new position that you're, well, not new position, but like your current positions?
I like that I get to be creative. We get to this is one of the things I mentioned about liking video a little bit more than article writing, that just the freedom to be creative. We in the video we're doing a series on ChatGPT and like asking AI to like simulate the MJ Bulls against the KD Warriors, and like how would that go, and like simulate 1,000 games of that, and how does that go. And so doing that for video, one of my favorite projects that I've worked on is I had a video I think a few months ago that just follows Steph Curry's phone screen of what it would have looked like over the summer, because he had like a wild summer. So like who would have messaged him? What would he have watched on his phone screen as he goes through like all these events of like the celebrity golf tournament and like being on Hot Ones and his underrated documentary coming out. And so all these things that are coming out, like what does that look like on his phone screen? So that's one of our videos where we have no voiceover and it's just all like things popping up. And I don't know if you've seen the movies like Searching, Missing, Unfriended. There are movies that have like the whole thing takes place on screens. And so that's kind of what we did with the video. And so having that creativity, a while ago, I think last year, a couple years ago, we did movie trailers for teams' upcoming NBA season. And we did it in the style of like a Mission Impossible trailer for the Clippers' upcoming season. And so I think one of the things I really like is getting to be creative and have those ideas and not be boxed in how we bring content to sports fans. And so yeah, that's one of the things I really like about it.
Yeah, it's more of like a fun, engaging type of way. You get to be more personable with your o audience. Totally agree. That's amazing. So like now that you're the head of scripts now, what more do you aspire to do in your career? Is there anything in particular that you would want to accomplish? Because you're so young, like there's so much more to do in life. You know what I mean?
I wish I had a good answer for you. Like this is my goal in the sports media world, and I really want to get there, but I don't really, to be honest with you. I just I thought I'd be working in education for my whole life, just a few years ago. And so to be here and working in sports and to have fun while doing it, and I've had the privilege of interviewing. I've talked with Jrue Holiday. I had a short interview with Sabrina Ionescu and like Spencer Haywood, the NBA Hall of Famer. And so I've had privileges that I would have never had before. And so I guess my goal would just be to do the best that I can wherever I'm put, wherever they need me. So that's just my career goal now, just to do my best wherever I'm needed.
I totally agree. My college coach, Coach Thompson here at Hobart, he always tells us like focus on the here and now where your feet are. You know, we're 7-0 right now. He doesn't
Nice.
want us to like he doesn't want our minds to wander. And when we're in practice, be present, focus on what's going on. And then when we're
For
in the
sure.
classroom, focus on that. So I like that's like a connection that like what you've been like talking about
It's a good
right now.
mindset to
Like
have, yeah.
you seem really locked in on like everything you've been doing since you were a teacher. And I'm just in awe. Like, man, that's amazing. Like all the writing that you've done over like in a short amount of time too, and like how fast you've been able to move up in the ranks. But now I've been waiting for this. Like, have a little fun. So are there any like early predictions for the NBA playoffs? What do you think? What do you think going forward? Who's winning the NBA championship?
Well, the homer in me wants to say that the Warriors are going to turn it around, and Klay is going to get back to his form, Wiggins is going to get back to being who he is, and the Warriors are going to win it all. But I think realistically, that I think we all know that's probably not going to happen. So I'm I'm interested in seeing how the Timberwolves do in the playoffs. Like
They're still the
they have like
number
a
one
really good
seed.
defense. And so and it's their defense that defense travels and defense as well in the playoffs. So I'm curious. I don't know if this is their year to win it all, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably go Celtics. I
Celtics.
think
That's
that
solid pick every year.
I've had a high view of the Celtics since they played the Warriors in that 2022 finals and then adding like Porzingis, Jrue Holiday, and so I'd probably go Celtics. I think this might be their year.
That's not a bad pick. I don't know. I'm like, if I say the Miami Heat, everyone whoever watches this is gonna think like I'm biased and like I don't know what I'm talking about. So I might go, I don't know, like how the Lakers have been playing in that in-season tournament. This LeBron James like not slowing down. He's gonna be like 39 years old at the end of this month. And then Anthony Davis having that 41 and 20 game. I don't think that's a bad pick. Like the role players, everyone's coming. Gabe Vincent is coming back. He's gonna be healthy. He did wonders for the Heat last year. I think he can be like a good backup point guard for D'Angelo Russell. I just see them matching up really well with like teams like Denver, who goes big at times because they have all those. They have the depth at the center position, and then, of course, they have LeBron. He's not slowing down anytime soon. In terms,
Motivated LeBron can do anything. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how he's doing it though. Like Father Time is just Father Time is might lose this one, he said. I don't know. In terms of like the rookie of the year debate, however, who do you have winning it? Wemby, Chet.
I have Chet on my fantasy basketball team, and he's doing wonders for me.
He's amazing.
And so, I think it'd probably have to go to Chet. I mean, it's still a long way to go in the season, right?
Yeah,
But
definitely. Like early
Chet
predictions,
has,
though.
Chet has better pieces around him. And OKC, what are they? Are they like the 2-3 seed right
I think
now?
there's
I
a
don't even
three
know.
seed right now.
Three seed?
I think, pretty sure.
And so I think Chet's probably going to end with better stats than Wemby.
Better win-loss percentage as well.
And Chet's had a year to learn already from NBA guys, just
Yeah,
sitting out
definitely.
last year. And so I think that's helping him a lot. So I'd probably go Chet.
Yeah, when I saw him at Summer League, he was the best player I saw there by far. It was insane. His length on the defensive end, he can pick passing lanes. Like when he would his arms are so long that like when he jumps, his like arm was like at the top of the box on the backboard. He probably had like 5 blocks that game I watched and like close to 30 points. And he was running the point, playing big. It was insane. But like
I saw a
again,
lot of people wonder like how skinny he is, like would that translate into the NBA if people push him around? But
yeah,
I think we're seeing that he's utilizing his skill set perfectly.
I mean that's like what people say about rookies every year. Like you go back to like LeBron, seeing like how he looked in that baggy jersey, that baggy Cavs jersey, that first game in Sacramento. People were like, oh, if he like matches up with who's a big of that, like Antoine Jamison or someone like that. Like when he played for the Wizards, like if he matches up with him, like Antoine will like push him around, but LeBron like quickly like proved that wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
How do you feel about Jaime Jaquez?
I'm sorry.
How do you feel about Jaime Jaquez in the rookie of the year race?
Oh shoot, I don't even know who Jaime Jaquez is.
Really? The
Oh,
guy
oh, 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 oh. I do know. I do know.
in the
Okay,
Heat.
I've seen headlines. I've seen headlines. On the Heat, on the Heat. I haven't been following on like outside of like big storylines.
Yeah.
Mostly the NFL has been kind of my focus this year
Oh,
with
definitely.
Storytelling videos and stuff like that. So the NBA this season has been a little bit on the back burner, and then combine that with the Warriors doing terribly. And so
Sorry,
like I know
sorry
the
to hear
big
that.
headlines, but I haven't been
Sorry about that.
following as closely as others. But yeah, I have seen Jaime in some of the headlines. Yeah, I've heard he's doing well, but I don't know too much. You tell me, what do you think of him?
Ooh, I think he's an amazing player. Like from a rookie to like play those bigger minutes at the four he plays at the power forward position. He plays exactly like how Jimmy Butler plays, but like of course there's still like he's not like at the same like level as Jimmy Butler, but like you see like flashes of it and glimpses. He plays like more like a veteran style player. Like you can really see like the 4 years that he's like spent, the 4 or 3 years that he spent at UCLA, like really did wonders for his development. And he's so athletic too. He can play both ends of the floor defensively and offensively too. Shoot it. I really like his game a lot. I was like a little skeptical adding him to that Dame trade. I'm glad we didn't. Like, I'm not gonna like bad talk Portland, but like, I'm just saying, like, I'm just glad we didn't. I'm just glad we didn't.
I know we were talking about this before the call started, but how do you feel about the Dame trade and Dame not going to Miami?
Oh man. You always want that star player to be on your favorite team, you know what I mean? Because then the hype's gonna be around you, all the medias, you're gonna have like stuff to post on your Instagram story. But I don't know, I feel like the beauty of the Miami Heat is like their development, like how they develop these undrafted guys. Like we see Duncan Robinson having a breakout season, or like a bounce back season, as I said before. Caleb Martin, what he did in the playoffs last year and like taking on a bigger role. What Gabe Vincent and Max Strus did for the team last year. And now we see like Haywood Highsmith, another guy who's still on the Heat. I just feel like how they develop their role players is just greater than bringing in a star. Because at the end of the day, I feel like the playoffs is about like how well your role players play. Because like, as you said, defense wins championships, you know what I mean? Like offense can win you games in a series, but like at the end of the day, defense is what's gonna win you championships. Like the We Believe Warriors did that, as we talked about earlier. You know what I mean?
Though their, I don't know if their defense was amazing, but yeah, their offense was pretty fun to watch. But
I mean,
yeah.
they locked up Dirk. Dirk said like they
Yes.
gave him
Yeah.
problems, and Dirk was like,
True.
he was
That's
MVP
true.
that year.
Yes.
He was
They had
MVP that
Don
year.
Nelson who like he drafted Dirk, right? And he knew all his tendencies, all his moves, all his favorite plays. So yeah, they had perfect
Yes.
recipe to stop
Dirk
Dirk for
talked
sure.
about
Yeah.
that. Dirk talked
Yes.
about that on the No Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And you said that the NFL is like mainly what you've been paying attention to. How do you feel about that Kadarius Toney call from the other night? How do you feel about that?
I thought it was weird that Andy Reid said that, the refs usually alert them. So I'm curious on how much refs alert coaches
Yeah.
on flags that they're gonna call and how much some of it is just like this just happens, that's a flag, obviously. So I don't know. Obviously it happens some because Andy Reid is talking about it, that refs do alert coaches that, hey, you better stop doing this or else we're gonna call it. But I mean, I've seen the clip, but he was lining up
Yeah, he was
offside.
offside.
So which I think Andy Reid would admit that, but he's also saying like refs should have told us. So I think that's fascinating. But yeah, I mean, if he's offside, that's got to be called. I mean, NFL ref, to be an NFL ref is so tough because things happen so fast and you're gonna get a lot of calls right, you're gonna call a lot of calls wrong, and
Right.
people are
It's
gonna
also
cough
a
your head
huge
after
field.
every And so yeah, I think it probably should have, if it was offside, it should have been called. And
Yeah,
it
definitely.
was.
I don't really. I like Patrick Mahomes a lot. Like I've been a fan of his since like he was at Texas Tech, but like I don't know. How he was acting like after the game. Like when he wins, like Josh Allen, like he would come up, like dap him up, like show him love. Like I don't. Like I was like, man, like don't complain about it. Like it's just a regular season, you know. You go like win it in the playoffs, like you're fine. I don't really. I feel like he's gonna face like a lot of backlash from that. And then Travis Kelce, like, yeah, it would have been like a highlight play of his career, but like I don't really think like mentioning that like to Josh Allen and in that sort of manner was like the right way to go. What do you
For
think?
sure, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Could be a lot of just frustrations boiling over from the
Yeah.
season too. And what was that, their four, their fifth
Like the
loss? Fourth
yeah,
loss?
they lost
Yeah,
like
something like
three they
that.
lost like 3 in a row, I think, like 3 weeks in a row. So like yeah, I know. And they were in position to win like each of those games too. Their offense just hasn't been clicking as of late. I don't understand why. Could it be the receivers? What do you think?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, from what I've seen on the Chiefs, Mahomes is gonna be Mahomes. So yeah, it could be the guys around him. And I know Tony's had his issues in the past. And
Yeah.
but in the playoffs, I mean, I don't know if they put it together at least a little bit. You can never count Mahomes out. So.
This is the best defense I believe he's ever played with as well. And they re-signed Chris Jones. But it's just like the offense. Like he doesn't really have a number one receiver right now. I think it's like Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, and then Rice, I think his name is. I'm not sure, but we'll see what happens. But thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. Like you sharing your story on this platform. It's all about sharing the stories of those who work in the sports industry. Like you could be a GM, you could be a writer, you can even be a manager. Like everyone has an important story to be told, I believe, and every story is valued.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate that. And best of luck to you and your basketball career.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.